Well, greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here again and see all of you. Feels like I can identify faces better when there's not as many people. Thank you for sharing with us, Silas. I appreciate you sharing honestly with us. God bless you for that. Maybe we can stand and we can pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do stand before you here this morning. We thank you for the blessings that we have. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together here to worship you, to place ourselves before the preaching of your word. And Lord, I just pray that we would take this opportunity and that we would hear from you. Just do pray, Lord, that you would now that you would give us ears to hear and that you would give us hearts to that can receive. And Lord, I pray that you would also give me the ability to share the things that you have placed on my heart. I do pray this morning that you would be with those that are traveling, that are visiting other places. We just lift them up to you and just pray, Lord, that you would just bless their day and that they would be encouraged where they are. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the title that I have for us is Kingdom Workers. And when we think of kingdom workers or when we think of workers, we think of someone that is given a task and has is hired for a particular job in some cases. Maybe in some cases we have many, many tasks and we don't really know what we do. We just do many different things. The way that I wanted to start this, just to help us maybe process just a little bit of what I'm thinking about, is I'm thinking about this morning about a farmer that had many fields and had a job that needed to be done. And he was looking for some workers. And maybe I'll just ask some of the younger children, is there anyone here that wants to be a worker for me? If you do, you can come up front here and we'll just talk about this a little bit. Okay, I have one worker here. Is there any more? Okay, Cameron, we should have at least a couple of workers because this farmer, he has about 1,000 acres of land. And so he's got a lot of work that needs to be done. So, oh, wow, got lots of help here. I think we can get the job done, don't you? Okay. This farmer, he has about 1,000 acres. I just made this up, so it's just something for us to be thinking about. And he has enough of seed to plant about 100 acres. Okay, so let's think about that. He has enough of seed to plant 100 acres. And on this farm, on this piece of property, there's about 300 acres of good farming ground. And he has about 100 acres of that's just wet ground, swampy ground. And then he has about 500 acres of ground that is it's rocky. It has trees growing in it. It has some lakes and ponds, and it has wildlife roaming around in it. And he also has about 100 acres of forest with nice dirt roads and cabins in it, and it's sort of a nice place to be. But this farmer is giving you a task, and he wants you to plant these seeds. And the one thing he wants is he wants to gain as much as he can from his seeds. And so he's giving you these seeds. So I'm giving you enough of seeds to plant 100 acres of ground. But I'm going to let you decide where you want to plant this. And then sometime later, I'm going to come back. We'll come back and see how well you did. So Cameron, if you look at this, where would you go to plant some seed? There's some good ground that is in the sun, and it should grow really good crops. And then there's some wet ground that is not really desirable place to be. There's probably ducks and geese, and might be a good place to put a canoe. And there's some forest land with cabins and dirt roads. So where would you go to start planting some seeds? The sunny spot in the ground. Do you remember that there's no trees there? The sun's going to beat down on you, and you're probably going to get warm. The ponds are over in that rocky spot. There's some ponds and lakes there. So you would still go to the open ground. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing to be thinking about. Okay, what about the rest of you?
Right.
You would go there too? But what about if you wanted to go hunting or fishing? You do that afterwards. Okay. Is that what you would do too? Yeah. Where would you go to? The shady ground. The fields are where it's good ground. Like, where's your garden at? Like, do you have a garden? Or did you have a garden?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet too. And you would too, right? Yeah, that's good. So, okay. Thank you for your time. You can all go and sit down again. And we'll just think about that this morning as we go through this message, that this farmer here, he wanted to have these seeds planted, and he was giving the workers, he was letting them decide where to put them. And if we turn to Luke chapter 8, verses starting in verse 4 there, Jesus talks about a parable here, and it's the parable of the sower. In verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So we see here that there was many people here. And he starts in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit up to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So, coming back here, the seed, we see, he reminds us here in this passage, the seed that he is talking about is God's word. And that it's to be spread out. We look at the ground conditions here in this passage, and I'd like to remind us here, as we think about sharing God's word and spreading these seeds, we see that he's pointing out the different conditions of the heart. And I'd like to remind us here that it is important for us, as we are spreading God's word, that we, first of all, look at our own heart. Look at the condition that our heart is, and that God wants to, he wants to deal with our hearts. And as we allow him to deal with our hearts, he's going to give us the ability to spread God's word. But we see the different hearts here: ground condition, the wayside. It's an area that we would think about that has been traveled much. It's a hard-packed heart, and it's unable to penetrate. God's word is unable to penetrate deeply in this soil condition. I want to remind us that God is able to change these kinds of hearts if they are willing, and God is able to change that. We look at the rocky soil, and we see that here, that things start to grow, but they're not able to get moisture in the heat of the day. They're not able, maybe it's lack of discipleship, or probably more a unwillingness to allow God's word to deeply penetrate this heart. And so it dries out when things get tough. This heart dries out and it does not produce fruits. Thorns. We see that possibly a good heart, but not willing to root out the things in our lives that are a problem. Sin, distractions that take us away from God. And because of this, it's unable to produce and grow fruit. The good ground, the heart that is humble and repented, ready to forsake self and follow Jesus. So as I look at this passage, and he's talking about the sower and the seed, and that the different soils, the message that I'd like for us to focus on and to think about is, where are we spreading the seed? And obviously, we see in this passage that seed lands on all of these different soil conditions. But we see that the good ground produces fruit. The farmer that hired people to take care of his farm, and he would have been pretty disappointed if all the seeds were planted and spread across the trails in the forest, or in the swamps, or in places that it has little chance to reproduce and grow fruit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that I'd like for us to think about, and I thought about this as Silas was sharing, in just thinking about God and what he wants, what he has done for us, and what he plans on doing with us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we think about what God did. If we look at, read that passage in full there, God did a work in us. He forgave us. He forgave our sins. He cleansed us from our sins. And Christ's ambassadors, God has a plan. He has a plan for you. And that plan is, he wants to reveal himself to the people through you. As we experience God working in our hearts, we experience forgiveness of sin, we experience a cleansing, and we now feel free before, we are now free before God. Jesus wants to reveal himself as that kind of God through each one of us here. He wants us to present, to spread the seed, God's word, to the people. And he wants to use each one of us. In John chapter 4, verse 29 and following, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then harvest, then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. This thing that I want to point out here is in this passage here, Jesus was ministering to this woman, and this woman went back to the people and started talking to them about Jesus and the things that he said and the things he did. And they came. And what I want us to notice here is there was a people here coming to Jesus that was hungry and ready to receive the gospel. But we notice here that the disciples would have missed this opportunity. They were focusing on food that it's like, we need to eat. It's time to eat. And they didn't understand what Jesus was saying here. And Jesus points out the hearts, the people, that there's a harvest. There's people ready to receive the word and ready to hear and to take it in. And just want to encourage us that we need spiritual eyes to be able to see these opportunities and be listening and hearing what is happening around us to not miss these opportunities. If we're, and Silas mentioned that, it's easy to allow ourselves to get distracted by the cares of life, about the roofs of our houses and the work that we want to do or the goals that we have for ourselves. And or it's like, wow, it's almost supper time. I'm hungry, which seems like to be the case here. And if we're not careful, we just blow by these, and they might just be little 3-minute opportunities that God places people in our lives that need to hear the promises of God, that need to hear just a little scripture verse or a word of encouragement or a word of admonishment. And it's easy to shrug off those opportunities. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus is pointing out here, as he's looking on at the people here, that there are opportunities, but not enough of people that are willing or able to do the work. And so God is looking for workers to spread the seed, spread God's word. A reminder in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, therefore, while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? For who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers to whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So we are reminded here that it's not about the name or the status that we have, and it's not about the kind of work that we're doing that it's going to make a difference, but that we're to be the ambassadors. We're to present Christ. And the way we do that is not to mimic, but we show what God is doing in my life. And we spread the seed, which is God's word. And by us being faithful in doing that, we don't make the fruit grow, but our work will bring forth fruit. And we see the promise here in this passage that it is God that gives us the increase. He's asking us to be faithful and to present his word to the people by, I believe, physically sharing God's word, and also by the way we present our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the promise here is, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So what we hear that telling us is the way that we plant the seed, the way that we share God's word, is the way that we will find harvest. We turn to Luke chapter 9 and thinking about who should we minister to, and the time that we spend with people. In Luke chapter 9 here, I believe that Jesus speaks into this as he was preparing his disciples to go out and to share the gospel. And he says here, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. There's, I guess, different things that we can take from these verses, but one of the things that seems pretty clear to me is we don't use the way that they were told to go out is we're not to use our possessions to win the people, to win them. And the other thing that I see in this passage here is if they don't want to hear the gospel, move on. Don't don't waste your time there if they're not open to the gospel. And the other thing that I notice here is in verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They were ministering to the needy and healing the sick. And so what I see them doing here is reaching out to a people that is, they know that they are in need. They're looking, they're obviously they were, some of these were sick, and they were bringing healing into their lives. And so we know that when someone is sick, they want to experience change. They want to, they're willing to listen to ways of healing the sickness that they're dealing with, because it's not fun to be in that position. And so spiritually, I believe that that is the same when we reach out to people that realize they have a spiritual need. Those are the people that, what I see scripture saying is, the harvest is ready, and that God wants to send us as workers to find those people. Second Corinthians chapter 1, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God as ambassadors for Christ. The things that we're experiencing in Jesus, he's saying here that so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. We are to find those that are in need, that are looking for comfort, that are looking for hope, that are looking for healing in their lives, and to present them to Jesus by God's word. In closing here, if we come back to Luke chapter 8, and we just look at this passage again. And see the parable here, and the different ground conditions that are in this passage: the wayside, the rocky ground, and the thorns that are growing in the soil. And then talks about the good ground. And in verse 8 here, in the end of that verse, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So I believe that God wants us to spread God's word everywhere. But I do believe, as the farmer that hired people to work his farm, that his call is for us to minister to the hearts, to spread the good news to those that are in need, to those that know that they are in need, and to present hope and to find the soil that is ready to grow, just like Jesus was at the well there, and the people were coming, and he saw the heart conditions, and he pointed out that the hearts that were coming were hearts that were ready for harvest. They were seeking and looking and taking things in, and lives, I believe, were changed. And so let's be faithful as kingdom workers and remember that God has a job for us, and that we are ambassadors for Jesus, and that God wants to make his appeal to the people through us. He wants to reveal himself through us. May God bless each one of you.